Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is what the apostle says towards the end of our lesson for today, verse 27. And he says something very much like it towards the very beginning of our lesson for today. In fact, the first verse from our lesson for today, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. He's repeating himself here and eloquently, I would say, tying together these two sort of distinct and difficult to reconcile ideas or thoughts about the church. You guys are all familiar with this passage. You've heard it before. It's a pretty popular one. Yes? Yeah? You've heard it before? Okay, good. This is a when I teach on the church in confirmation class, this is what I have the students read every year, 1 Corinthians 12, because it's like the quintessential, it's the place, really, to look for what is the church and how are we to relate to each other as members of the church. It's a quintessential passage for that. And St. Paul ties together in this passage a number of different and competing things. He talks about the church in a number of different aspects. But he's really getting at, I'd say, kind of two crucial things that he sums up in these two verses that I just read to you. Let me read the last one again from 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And he's getting at, again, two things. First, now you are the body of Christ. That's you, plural. That's not you singular. So here in our context, you means all of us that are in this room. Now you, all of you, or as Southerners like to say, y'all are the body of Christ. He's addressing this, if you ever meet my brother-in-law, tell him that I said that to you. He's addressing this corporate, this community reality that Christ takes disparate people and binds them together into one body. That's the whole illustration that he's using here. He's talking about the fact that the body, and that is now we're talking not about the church, but we're talking about your physical body, your flesh and blood, is composed of many parts, but all those parts work together and fit in such a way as to really compose one unified thing. And so he's talking about, in this passage, the first thing is that corporate reality of the church, the fact that we are bound together. But then he's also getting at, and again, he says it very, very succinctly in a way that I can't, you guys know, in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The other fact is, your body parts remain body parts. Your fingers are part of your body, but also your fingers are your fingers. You know, your liver and your stomach and your, colon, they're part of your abdomen, which is part of your body, but also you can take your liver out if you want to. It's still an individual piece. And so in the same way,
We are bound together in Christ. We are the body of Christ, a unified thing, the church. And yet at the same time, we remain individuals, people, distinct, you know, beautiful, shining, sparkling snowflakes, every one of us. And so he's addressing these two things. The church is a body, and yet that body, the church, is composed still of individuals. And what are we to make of this? How are we to deal with it? So he gets at a number of different pieces. You know, the parts that maybe are most memorable is when he says, you know, like in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Here he's dealing with what we might call envy. He's focusing on the fact that the body is composed of individual parts. That is, jobs, you know, the ending part. Now, you're the body, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, teachers, miracles, then gifts of healing, all these things. All the different jobs in the church. And he's saying that some people, we are all given jobs in the church. They might be visible, like elected board people, or they may be less visible. You may be the pew card filler, or you may be the lady who kind of knows everybody, or you may help to organize this group or that group or the other group, or maybe you're a person who's just here with so much regularity that people get to know you and you get to know them. There's all kinds of different jobs in the church. But there's a temptation to look around at all the different jobs. You recognize, okay, this is my job, and that's their job, and to start to feel envious about the job that someone else has, right? If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. I don't have the assignment that I would like, and so I just assume cut myself off. And St. Paul says, we as individuals are not allowed to do that because we're part of the body. And then he twists that a bit in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Now we're talking about a different thing. This eye, this body part, has a perception that it's higher or more important than all the other body parts. And it's saying, I could do without you. I'm powerful enough. I'm important enough, I'm smart enough, I'm knowledgeable enough, I'm regular enough, I'm whatever, you know, enough on my own that I have no need of you. But he says again, the eyes are not allowed to say to the hands that they don't need them because they are a part of the body. So you see what I'm saying? We have this corporate issue that he's talking about, and we have this individual issue. People are given by God gifts and talents and abilities and all those things. And this is where my suspicion is most of the sermons that you've heard on this text go. It's kind of like, I'm supposed to stand up here as a pastor, and this is my opportunity to recruit you all to do things. And I say things like this. God has graciously given you all these various talents and abilities. Again, I say something like, you're all beautiful, wonderful, unique snowflakes. And what you're supposed to do is find where you fit in the church. You're supposed to find your niche, and then that's where you serve because God has made you a part of the body. And that's all good. That's all true. Of course, you guys know you're good at various things, and you like certain things, and you don't like other things. You know, to a certain extent, you actually are a snowflake, which is great. It's wonderful. But I would like to focus on sort of the other part of this. We all have enough, I think, individualism. And that's why you keep chuckling when I say the word snowflake, because I recognize the implications of that word when I say it. But I would like to focus on the fact that, in fact, God has called us together here, certainly as unique individuals with various talents and gifts and abilities. But he has gathered us all here for a reason. Now you could think about, and I suggest that you do, think about why it is that you're here, that you're specifically here. And you could come up with all kinds of, I would say, very good reasons that you might be here. You might be here because your parents made you come. Or I can say just as honestly, you might be here because you really want to be here. You might be here because you woke up this morning and you did precisely what you've been doing exactly the same way for like 50, 60, 70 years. This is what I do, so that's why I'm here. Routine is a very good thing, not to be underestimated. I'm not belittling any of these very good reasons to be here. But that could be why. You could be here because your whole family's here. Where else would I go? That's where I... Of course, this is where I would be. You could be here because your friends are here. You've come here often enough and regularly enough into the same service time often enough that you've gotten to know people and you say, I only see them at church and I really like those people and so I want to see them. Great. That's fantastic. All of these things are good. The service of individuals to the church, various types of connections and reasons for the church. But I want you to recognize why it is and what it is that actually takes all these individuals and binds them together, not into a corporation, not into an association, not into a company or a club or anything like that, but actually binds them together into a church. You all can use your gifts and talents and abilities in all kinds of different places, for all kinds of different very good reasons. But there's only one thing, according to this passage, that actually takes these disparate members, you know, fingers and livers and colons and all those things, and binds them together into the body of Christ. Beginning again at verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Brothers and sisters, we're not just any other organization. We're a bunch of like-minded people come together to do things that they like. We here in this place are a congregation of the church of God. We here are an appendage of the body of Christ. And that is because all of you, I'll say again, y'all, everyone in this room has been baptized into the Holy Spirit. All of us in this room have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We have been washed with water, connected to the Word of God, so that our sins would be forgiven for sure, and by that we would be brought into this mystical body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, that is who we are. We are a group of people called by baptism in the Spirit into God's body. Body of Christ, and now led and guided by the power that he has given us in his word. He takes us by the word that we hear in this place every single week and draws us together into one body. So it's true that we are all individually members of Christ's body, and again, snowflakes and all of that. But that only matters and only makes us distinct because first we are drawn together into the one body that is guided and led by God's word. We're not just anybody. Again, we're not just anybody. We're not just a corporation or a club or anything like that. We are the church. And it doesn't always feel this way. In fact, I think often it doesn't feel this way. But the fact of the matter is, we share, together here in this place, being baptized by the one Spirit, being led by the Word of God, a bond in this body that is closer than any bond we have with anyone else in the whole world. And all the other things that we share, again, that are good, our friendships, our family relationships, our jobs, our talents, our abilities, our elected positions, and all of those things are very good, but they're only really, fully, truly important because first we share the Spirit. First we share the Word. First we share the identity as members of the body of Christ. May we be known, we here at Our Savior Lutheran Church, as the body of Christ, first and foremost, from today until forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.